us.
Good. Or bad.
Good morning. It is certainly good to see everybody here this morning, and if you're, whether you're here in person or joining with us online, we're glad that you're able to attend our Sunday morning worship service. We have visitors with us. We're especially glad that you're able to worship with us this morning, and would encourage you to hang around for a few minutes afterwards that we could have the opportunity to get to know you better. I had several on my sick list that I scratched off as the morning continued, because they're actually here that have been out. So it's good to see several back that have been out. Would add to the list, though, that Jerry is not feeling well this morning. So let's keep him in our prayers. And also, Blaine and Charlotte are running a fever, so they are the Blaine Spicers are home this morning ill. So let's keep them in our prayers as well. If there's any more sick that need to be announced, if you bring them to my attention, I'll make sure to get that announcement made tonight. It's also a holiday week, so there'll be several of our members traveling over the next week, including Diana and I. So let's keep those that are on road to travel in our prayers over the coming week, that we could all have safe travels. And also, because it's holiday week, there's not going to be any Bible classes on Wednesday evening. It'll just be a singing for those that aren't in town. So if you have visitors coming into town with you for Thanksgiving, I'd encourage you to bring them out and for singing on Wednesday. And then the deacon selection process continues to the extent you've got input or concerns. Byron announced the names last week, and they'll go on for another week. And we'll be closing out the process, I believe, next Sunday. Is that correct, Ron? So anyway, there's that. Let's go ahead and pause for a moment, and we'll begin our worship service with the scripture reading in just a moment. And we'll begin with the scripture. It's going to be in Philippians chapter 4, and it's on the screen behind me if you want to follow there or open up your Bibles. Philippians 4, beginning in verse 4, we read, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." We'll begin our worship service with a song, followed by our opening prayer.
We will glorify the King of Kings.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is so great I am. Lord, behold the reigns in majesty. We will bow before
God and our Father in heaven, King of kings, the great I am. We bow before you today in worship, thanking you for this time that we have together with brothers and sisters of like precious faith, to be able to come together in peace to worship the one true and living God. We're so thankful for this time, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to sing praises to your name, to open up your word, to gain a better understanding of your will and how we can present the good news to those around us. We pray at this time for those who are unable to be here today due to health reasons, and we pray that you be with them, help us to reach out to them and attend to any need that they may have. We ask that you heal them, Lord, so that they can come together with us once again, so that we can join in worshiping you and praising your name and gain encouragement from one another. We pray that at this time that you put out all outside focus from the world, and that we focus intently on what we are here to do, and that is to praise you as our one true King. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you bless us with and continue to give us. And most importantly, we thank you for the blessing of your Son, who died on the cross so that we can approach you in this hour of prayer and so that we have the hope of eternal life to live with you forever and to sing songs of praises to you continually. We thank you for all of these opportunities, and we know it was all made possible through your Son, Jesus, most holy name. Amen.
Fairest Lord Jesus,
no, fairest Lord Jesus, fruit of nature, O Lamb of God and man, the Son,
sermon. If it's convenient, I'd ask for you to stand for the singing of this song.
I have seen you walk.
I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for God's grace that we have to look forward to. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach God's word this morning. Getting a little feedback there. Probably turned me up since I didn't have my mic on. Apologize for that. I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach this morning. Jerry was going to preach, but he's got the bronchitis now, I guess. So pray for him. I guess this is me returning the favor. He filled in for me for being sick lately. So, the good thing is I like preaching. So I'm thankful for that opportunity. Not thankful that he's sick, but, we have a lot to be thankful for. And maybe you could have predicted this. I think he was going to preach on Thanksgiving. So I don't know if he was going to recycle that sermon and preach it after Thanksgiving, but I guess I'm stealing his thunder here. He was going to preach on Thanksgiving, and I thought, that if he's going to be sick, then we should still talk about that. Oftentimes when we get to this time of year, that's what people are reflecting on, things to be thankful for. And for most of my life, we just have had in this country so much to be thankful for. And we still do. But I wanted to be a little careful this morning because sometimes I think it's hard to be thankful when things aren't going so good. And we have a lot of people that are hurting, a lot of people that are struggling. The past 2 years haven't been maybe as great as some of the other years for a lot of folks. And so I want to approach this sermon not in a way that I'm going to get onto you bunch of ungrateful Americans, which, sometimes I could get on my soapbox about that, about how entitled we become as a country and as a people and how ungrateful we are for the things that we do have. But I didn't want to approach it this way this morning. It's not about a guilt trip for me this year. For me, it's about being thankful for the things that we do have. And if you are having a hard time being thankful, giving you some food for thought, giving you maybe a list of things. It's kind of a count your blessings type of sermon. How to be thankful always. Because, we have those verses. The verse was read not long ago that in everything, give thanks by prayer and supplication. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That's from Philippians chapter 4. And sometimes, I don't think it's a good thing that we're ungrateful or that we would be entitled or that we'd have a bad attitude, but when we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we're not as thankful to God as we should be. And that is a hard thing to do. As it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Everything. I got to say, there's certain things like mosquitoes that I'm just not thankful for. Inflation. I have a hard time being thankful for that. I don't think that's what it's saying here, that you have to be thankful for the trials necessarily. But in the trials, in everything, there are things that we still have to be thankful for. So we're going to go through some things this morning that we have to be thankful for. And you may look up on the screen and say, well, I don't have that. So that's hard for me to be thankful for something that I don't have. And I don't want that to be a discouragement to you this morning. Because there's going to be some things in focusing in the latter half of the lesson are things that we all have to be thankful for. And even if you don't have some of these things that we're going to have on the list, this count your blessings type of sermon, recognize there are other people here who have those things and they need to be thankful. If you're going through health problems and you don't have good health, it's going to be hard to be thankful for good health. But you sure don't take it for granted anymore, do you? And you can understand that those people who do have good health, they should be thankful for that. And so please don't be discouraged if there's some of the things on this list that we're going to see here that aren't thankful. But what we're going to try to do is cultivate. We talked about Joseph this morning, how he could be thankful in prison. I think about the Apostle Paul and that passage that was read from Philippians chapter 4. Paul being thankful despite being unfairly put in prison. If it was me, I'd be complaining. I'm not sure I'd have that great attitude, but we should. That's the attitude that we're striving for. And so when we read a challenging passage, in everything give thanks, rejoice always. Those are hard passages for us. So I hope that this sermon will give you the tools that you need, at least some things to think about, things that I can be thankful for that will help us to have that good attitude. Because as we read, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. How did Paul do it when he was in prison? He kept a positive attitude, and he focused on the things that he could be thankful for, the things that he was thankful for, the good things. And so I'm not going to be able to give you an exhaustive list of everything that you should be thankful for. And at the end of the lesson, I'll challenge you to be thinking through Thanksgiving. Really, we should do this all the time. Think about, what are some things he didn't mention that I am thankful for as well? We know that from James chapter 1, verse 7, every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, of whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And I think maybe ingraining this in our minds will help us to be more thankful when we realize that all the good things that we do have come from God. And, you know, there's a few things that maybe, when we're praying, we might kind of have the gimme, gimme, gimme attitude. God, I need help with this. Help me get through this. Help me with that. What's hard is to remember, then go back and be thankful. What's hard is to, what Blake said in his prayer this morning, focus on why are we here? We're here to praise God. We're here to think about how great He is. Those are more difficult. And maybe that's difficult because sometimes we're just not thankful. And again, sometimes it's hard to be thankful because we're going through a bunch of stuff. It would be really hard to be thankful if you were sitting in prison unfairly. Paul was able to do that. Joseph was able to still maintain that positive attitude. So I want to think about how we can do that when we're going through tough times. Psalm chapter 68 says, "Blessed be," in verse 19, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation." You know, God gives us a lot of blessings. And, you know, a lot of people, they think of physical first. So we will cover the physical first, but I think what we're going to see in this lesson is those physical blessings, those are not promised. That's not always consistent. Yes, every good and perfect gift comes from God, but sometimes those are taken away. Some of these other things, what we're going to see, they're always there for us to be thankful for. But still, we have a lot to be thankful for. Many of us here, we have a lot of great things. Our physical needs being taken care of. We know from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7, "We brought nothing into the world. We could take nothing out of the world. If we have food and clothing, with these we will be content." Our attitude should be, hey, dinner's on the table every day. I've got clothes. I've got shelter. What else could I ask for? Well, there's the plasma screen TV. Plasma, that's old technology. What am I talking about? We got LCD. I don't even know all this stuff, 4K. But we have all these luxuries. A lot of us do. Maybe you don't. And so, you know, it's kind of a sore spot. That's difficult. You know, I don't want the whole sermon to be this guilt trip of, well, you think about all the people who are persecuted around the world, who are in third world countries, and they'd be grateful just to have it. I mean, the whole reason the Thanksgiving here is to begin with was the people who originally came here to this country, they were just thankful to have some food. And, you know, the story behind it with the Native Americans and the people who came here, they shared a meal and they were happy just to have that. And you think about throughout all of human history, all the people who, you know, they were just happy with these things. We live in still relatively abundant times. Even the poor amongst us oftentimes have their base physical needs met. Not everyone, I understand that. And you may be struggling with physical things, so it may be kind of hard to be thankful if you're struggling just to make ends meet. But as we said in Bible class this morning, you know, God doesn't promise that everything's going to be good with you physically. And so that's why we're going to see, well, yeah, we need to be thankful. If you do have a lot of the physical blessings, where do those things come from? They came from God. And we ought to be a lot more thankful than what we are. We ought to be thankful just to have the food and the clothing. But, you know, sometimes that goes against human nature a little bit. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 says, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Yeah, there's the keeping up with the Joneses, but then there's also just the, you know, I'm trying to save to retirement. I'm just trying to make ends meet. I'm just trying to put food on the table for the kids. And that's a natural human thing. Everybody's worrying about, you know, hey, how am I going to make ends meet? But the Christian mindset needs to go a little bit beyond that. The bar is raised a little higher than that. If we seek God first, we follow his principles, these things will take care of themselves. Of course you're going to worry about taking care of your family. One who doesn't take care of his family is worse than an unbeliever. You know, if you don't work, you don't eat. These ideas, they're biblical. It's not wrong to be concerned and make sure that you're taking care of your business. It's that if we become consumed with the physical things, as we read before, you brought nothing into the world, you could take nothing out. If you continue reading that passage, you'll see how people pierce themselves through with many pangs because their whole world becomes about the physical things. And so you answer, you go back to the original premise, how are you happy even when you're in hard times or when you're unfairly thrown in prison? How can you still be thankful? Well, as long as you've got food in your belly and clothes on your back, he doesn't even say shelter. You know, I kind of want to add that one in there. Like, oh, there's a lot of talk about basic human rights. And, you know, in this world, it's a nasty place. And there's some people who don't even get what we would consider in this country as basic human rights. And so how could you be thankful with, I mean, not even shelter, just food and clothing? How can you be thankful with that? Well, when you know that God will take care of you, and we'll see, we'll get into the physical things, we'll get into the spiritual things, and seeking him first, raising the bar, just how we do that. But, you know, physical needs, if you have those met, some of us are very, very blessed, myself included, very blessed. Need to be thankful for that. Here's the one that I mentioned earlier, health and healing. This may be another one that you're looking at, you're like, I don't have good health. Hard to be thankful when you've been struggling with health issues for a long time. But again, if you do have your health, you should probably be pretty thankful for that. It's not wrong to want to be healthy inherently. 3 John chapter 2, we have it written, "Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul." You know, that's kind of a common expression even today, that you would pray for good health, that you would pray for healing of the members of this congregation. Psalm 103, verse 2 says, "Blessed, O Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives your iniquities, who heals your diseases. Now, we may not have miracles going on, but God has created our bodies to where You have an immune system, and most of the time, hopefully that works, and you have healing. And this is one of those things, again, that unfortunately, well, it's not guaranteed, and sometimes those things don't work the way that we want to. We've had the pandemic, and we've been having a lot of people struggling with these things. We have folks with cancer, have folks with dementia, long-term problems. Very easy to take your health for granted when you've been healthy your whole life. Something we really ought to be very thankful for if we do have good health. And again, it's not wrong to hope that you have good health, but that's not something that's always guaranteed. And as we read, the prayer was for those that you love, beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. When I ask the question, which one of those is more important? Would you trade your good health for eternity in heaven? I saw on Facebook there was, it was one of those little viral things where they try to get you to comment and pick which color button would you press. Would you press a guaranteed health for 20 years? Would you pick a mortgage-free home, all your utilities filled? You might have seen this one on Facebook. And most people, they picked this one right here, 20 years of good health. And that was almost unanimous. And they said, oh, that's all that matters. And I understand what they're getting at, because a lot of the stuff was money. A lot of it was, you know, physical things that were also trivial. Would you trade getting to go straight to heaven? I mean, for me, I got little kids here, so I can understand. Man, I want to be healthy. I want to be able to take care of those. I still got work to do. I still got stuff to do here. And you know what? I don't think it's wrong, as we see from the scriptures, to pray for good health, to want to be in good health. It's not fun to be sick. I hate being sick. I don't want to miss being here in the assembly with all of you. I like my job. I like doing the things that I normally do. It's generally, obviously, preferable to have good health. If you suffer through bad health, then you realize that. But when it gets down to the crux of the matter, there should be a button that says, I press the button and I get to go to heaven. The soul is what's most important. And as hard as it can be when you're struggling and dealing with health problems, chronic health problems, that last for a long time. I mean, it's not easy to deal with a loved one who's not who they once were because they're struggling with dementia. It's the hardest thing I've ever had to watch my brothers and sisters go through when they're going through that. And similar with losing a loved one to cancer. It's so hard to watch people struggling with those things. And you can see how people could take it for granted. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with praying for health and healing. But our spiritual health is important too, and I think we need to not forget that as well. So I think you can understand and see where I'm coming from. If you have health, be thankful. Life. This one, well, we all have because we're all here, at least for now. You're all sitting here. If you're watching on live stream, you're alive currently if you're listening to this. You know, I don't know if the angels in heaven could hear this, but they're alive too in a way spiritually. The truth of the matter is, there's that old cliche, you know, hey, still breathing, still moving. At least I'm not 6 feet under, you know. And I've seen many people. When I was in Mahia, I'd hear this a lot, and I'm sure some of y'all as well. It's about all you could do to get here. When I said that last time in a sermon, someone said, well, I can't even get there right now, you know, and that's a struggle. If you're going through health problems, if life is difficult, sometimes just about one of the only things you can be thankful for in terms of physical blessings is, hey, I'm still alive. I'm still alive. And I think what we'll see is, you know, who's the one that gives us life? Who's the one that gave us life in the first place? So you talk about being thankful to be alive. You know, someone might get the Eeyore syndrome and be, woe is me, I wished I was never born. You know, oh, I'm not even sure, my life's miserable. I'm not even thankful to be alive anymore. Hey, that's not really being thankful for the gift that is life, the miracle that is life that is only possible through God. Acts chapter 17, verse 25 says, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, although he needed anything, since he gives life to all, breath to all things. The proper Christian attitude is, Yes, to be thankful that God even thought of me, that He even created me in the first place, that I get to experience life, and that I have the opportunity, what we're going to see in just a moment, to live forever. But the mentality should be, if we're really trying to take this seriously, rejoice always, in everything give thanks, is to give thanks for the God who gave us life in the first place. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118:24. So we need to make sure that we recognize, hey, there, and this is the first one, I guess, that you know everyone has, that we can all be thankful for life. But when you get down to the back to the physical things that maybe not everybody has, family. You know, that's what I think of. When I think of Thanksgiving, I'm not just thinking about football and turkey, although I like both of those things and I am thankful for them. Family is much, much more important, you know. When you think about why people are thankful, you know, what do people typically do for Thanksgiving? They go spend time with family. And hopefully, yeah, we're reflecting on all the good things that we have that we should be thankful for. But, you know, again, this is one of those. Some people don't have a great family or maybe even family at all. And so if you've got a family, you should probably be thankful for that, especially if you have a good family. This is one of those that could be a sore spot, you know. So to hear some preacher get up there and tell you, well, be thankful for your family when you're not too real thrilled with the people in your family. So again, you know, that one, it can be hard. That one can be a sore spot, especially if you just lost a loved one. But again, how do you rejoice always? Even if this is a sore spot for you, there is our God, our Father, who is the greatest family we could have, the one that won't reject us, won't ever turn his back on us, and having him as a part of your family, being a child of God, being a son of God, that is one of the things you got to focus on with that. But, you know, for those of us who do have families, Proverbs 18:22 says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." We know it's not good for man to be alone. And there may be the feminist thing that, women need men like fish need a bicycle. I think that's ridiculous. I think women need men like women need men. And I sure know that I need that woman right there who's taking care of my three kids there on the pew while I'm up here preaching. I could not do it without her. We need each other. Truth of the matter is, we need family. We need people to help us. And so for people who maybe don't have that, you can understand how that's a sore spot. We'll get to in a minute how you can have a family in God's family in God. But if you do have a wife, what is it? It's a good thing, especially a Proverbs 31 type of woman. We don't have a time to do a whole sermon on the family this morning. But when you think about that having a spouse, whether it's a husband or a wife, that should be a blessing to you. You want to find someone who compliments you, who helps you, who's going to help you get to heaven. And if you found that, be thankful for it. Psalm 113 verse 9 says, "He grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother in the cry of children. Praise the Lord." We should praise the Lord and be thankful. We got a lot of young children and some on the way here. We've got lots of things to be joyful for. You think about, yeah, I used this after my last one. I don't know how much a quiverful is. I don't know how many arrows is a quiverful. My crossbow holds only three, so I don't know. Maybe for some people, three is a lot of kids. But the truth from the scriptures are, children are a blessing from the Lord. And if you're blessed with children, I know they can be a handful. I've got three at home. Four and under, it's a lot of chaos sometimes, but, you know, I wouldn't trade them away for anything. I love them to death. And they are a blessing to me. And I don't know, there's nothing more joyful in the world than having those children. God gave them to me. They are a blessing to me. And beyond children, you have grandchildren. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6. Children's children are the crown of old man, and the glory of children is their father. That, you know, the family relationship, it goes all around. Yeah, we could get into children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. We could get into all that. The reality is, there's no substitute for a good mother and father in home. And the glory of children is their father. Children should be grateful if they have a good home where the mother and father are there, especially faithful Christians who are leading them in the paths of righteousness. And for those of you who have grandchildren in the audience, I don't think I have to explain to you what a blessing that they are. And it's especially a blessing when they serve the Lord and when they're doing what's right. I can't imagine anything that makes you more proud than faithful children who are serving God, and anything more difficult than your children not obeying the Lord and going off into rebellion. What could be more painful than that? Why is that? Because we love them so dearly. We want what's best for them because they are a blessing and we care for them so much. So if we have these relationships, we need to cherish them and we need to prioritize them in order to make sure that this is a situation in which we can be thankful for. And if you're having problems with it because, man, my family life is just messed up, strive to start anew. Strive to find your own husband and wife or your own children that you currently have now. Make the most of it. Fix it. Make it the way it's supposed to be. Follow the Lord and you'll have many of these blessings. As we read before, none of these physical blessings are guaranteed. But if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. And you know what? That's not a promise that everything's going to go right. But at least you can make the most of the situation, what you have. And if you have some or any or all of these, then you have a lot to be thankful for. And that's just the physical things. And these aren't even the most important. I get it. Family's important. Maybe that's why it's last on the list. And transition into that, you know, if your physical family isn't that great, you've got the church. And I think that's something that people see it sometimes as an obligation. Oh, I have to go to church. Or, you know, the scripture tells me that I need to go to church. I tell you, folks, church is a spiritual blessing. And out of all these physical blessings, yeah, it's great to have your physical needs met, to not have to worry where your next paycheck's coming from. It's great to have good health. It's great to be alive and to have a good family. But if you don't have all those things, what are you going to cling to? You got to cling to the spiritual blessings, that there is a life to come after this, and we'll get to that. But how are we going to get there? You don't have to get there alone. You have people here, and you know what? The church isn't full of perfect people. Sometimes even the people in the church, just like your family can, you know, not treat you so right. So we're all flawed people. It happens. But here, what we're striving to do, what we should do, is be a family. And it's something that we should, if everything's going according to God's plan, find solace, sanctuary, love in the church between our brothers and sisters. I look out in this audience, and I haven't quite been here a year, but I'm growing in my love for you all each and every day, and I know that you are concerned for me, and you're helping take care of my family. And that's how you grow as a family, when you're there for each other. There for each other when you need each other. And that's why I believe God gave us the church as a blessing. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." We kind of had this reference in our Bible class this morning. The spiritual blessings are much more important to us because, like we said, some of these physical things, they're not really guaranteed for us in the life. But the church, that's something God said, the gates of hell will never prevail against it. That's something that the kingdom of heaven is here now for us. You can enter in, you can join and be a part of the family. So much familial language throughout the scriptures. And if we really, I mean, just read Ephesians if you're trying to understand how important spiritual blessings are. But the church is one of those blessings. In Philippians chapter 1 verse 3, it says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." Are you thankful for the church? Are you thankful for the people here? Hopefully they've been here for you. Hopefully you understand what a great blessing it is to have elders who are watching after your soul. That you understand what a great blessing it is to have brothers and sisters who want to get to heaven. They have a common faith with you, believe the same types of things you do. And hopefully we're all united, one faith, one church, moving towards the goal of heaven. Paul's thankful for that. And Philippians, you know, you talk about writing from prison and being in a bad situation. He's thankful even for the remembrance of those people who wanted to do things for him and send word to him and get him the help that he needed. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because of your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you abounds towards each other." That's what the church is supposed to be. And you know what? I get it. There's some churches where you can really feel the love and places that you can't. I personally feel the love here. And this is something that we're striving to grow and to make sure that everyone has access to be here, to be plugged in, and to become a part of this family, where we're constantly growing and abounding in love towards one another, that we ought to be thankful for our brethren. If we're having a hard time doing that, well, I don't want to be ugly about this, but I'll just put it to you this way. It's a two-way street. We can't help you if you don't open up and let us know that you've got needs. And we want to know. I want to know. If we can help you in some way, if you're struggling spiritually, if you're struggling with any of these other things that you have, the physical things that you don't have, what the church is supposed to be, what we ought to want to be for one another, is a place where you can go to for comfort, for help when you need it, where we can show love for one another. And so, if you're not feeling plugged into this church, I got to say, there's a lot of good people here. They're looking out for me. And I think that I know that they would look out for you too. If you need that help, reach out. And you could be thankful for God's people as well. No one greater on this earth than God's people who help each other. That's the blessing that we have in the church. So, let's always make sure we're thankful for that. I believe we have a good church family here. I'm very happy to be here. And that's one of those things that God can't, that as long as we're here on this earth, there's always going to be the church. There's always going to be churches here. And we need to take advantage of that blessing. Also, the Word of God. And we've got this one in spades. You got this in your pocket all times. If you got your cell phone, you have an app. The fact of the matter is, the Word of God is one of the best blessings He's ever given us. It gives us comfort when we're down. It gives us guidance. It's a light to our path. And really, it gives us everything that we need for salvation. James chapter 1, verse 21 says, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." I can't put any more shine on it than that. The truth of the matter is, the Word of God has the ability to help you to get to heaven. And if you can't be thankful for that, then you don't understand what a blessing it is to be able to read these words and to find in them eternal life. It can help you to lay aside filthiness. It can help you to put aside the problems, the sin that's causing you problems, maybe in your family life, maybe in your life in general. If things aren't going well for you in your physical life, it'll help you to get things straightened out. So as we said before, with the family life and everything like that, you can make the best of what you have because it gives you access to hope. It gives you access to eternal life. If you don't have a treasure, again, if this is one of those things where it's like, oh, like the church, reading my Bible, oh, that's a chore, then you don't understand what a blessing it is. This is one of the most biggest things that we should be thankful for in our daily life, that we have access, that the all-powerful God who created us and did all these things, He sent His Son to die for you, and He gave you His revealed word. We need to be thankful for that. Also need to be thankful for prayer. The avenue of prayer in and of itself is a privilege. It is an awesome thing that we can speak to God, that He hears us, that He listens to us, that He responds to us. And this is one of those things that I don't care how bad everything else is on the list, you can be thankful for that because you always have that. You can always talk to God. And nobody can take that relationship away from you. If you store up the word in your heart, nobody can take that away from you either. Even if you're locked in a prison cell, you have those comforts. But prayer, that's a personal relationship that you have with Him. And the peace that comes from laying all your burdens down on God, that's something that nobody can take away from you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. If you ask in faith with no doubting, you can be guaranteed to know that He's faithful, that He hears you. Yes, sometimes we don't get the right answers to our prayers that we may like, but we know that He hears us, and that if we ask according to His will, He wants to give us these things. Jesus said it. He said, who when they ask for bread, is He going to give a stone? He's your Father. We've talked about being a part of His family, being a part of His kingdom. You have a God who loves you. I should have put that on the list, that we have a God who loves you. He loves you enough that He wants to hear from you. He wants to have a relationship with you. So if your family life, even if you're not feeling that connected to the church, you've always got God. You've always got that. Even if everything else were going wrong in your life and you were feeling like Job, that even your own friends who are supposed to be faithful to you have turned their backs on you, you can always talk to God. He will never forsake you, and He will always be there for you. And I'm thankful for that. And the big stuff here, we're talking forgiveness and grace. Grace is a little cut off there, but God's grace is, we sang about it this morning. Where would we be without God's grace? If we have nothing else to be thankful for, and everything else is going wrong in our lives, nothing can separate us from the love of God. We could choose to walk away from God if we want and separate ourselves, but nothing man can do to you can take away the fact that Jesus Christ died for your sins on the cross. If you can't be thankful for that, then you probably aren't thankful for anything else on this list, because that's the big one. Right? None of us deserve heaven. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us really deserve paradise. But God promised us that. God gives us forgiveness of our sins. Psalm 103, verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgives your iniquities, who heals your diseases." We talked about the diseases. Now we're talking about our spiritual health. We need to be thankful that God has forgiven our sins and that He forgives us even though we're not perfect. Even though we don't deserve to go to heaven, He wants you there. He wants you there so much He moved heaven and earth. He created a whole plan that we see. We've been studying it in Genesis. The whole thing was put in motion. He knew that we were going to betray Him. He knew that we would walk away. He knew that we would deny Him, and that even though we are faithless, He is still faithful. Be thankful for that. Be thankful for all the benefits He have in Christ through Jesus. Romans chapter 7, verse 24 says, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." You may be here this morning not thinking that's a big deal, that you have forgiveness of sins, because you kind of have that Pharisee attitude. I hope not. But if it happened to Pharisees, you know, it could happen to us as well. We can kind of think, hey, I'm a good person. I'm not like all those crazy people out there committing all these crimes and doing all this bad stuff. I haven't done anything bad. If we understand and feel the feeling, oh, wretched man that I am, if you understand that our sin has separated us from God, you understand what an awesome thing it is that you're forgiven. You may not think that you've needed to be forgiven of much, and I hope you haven't done too much sinning, but we all have sinned, and we all need to have that attitude. You know, when you're having small talk with people, people say, "How's it going?" The truthful answer always ought to be, "Better than I deserve." Even if our health is failing, even if our family life is bad, even if our physical needs are barely being met, the wages of sin are death. And we certainly don't deserve the hope of eternal life, but we're promised that anyways, and we need to be thankful that Jesus defeated sin and death and has taken away that sting. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56 says, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." If you've had a loved one die recently, you know that it stings. But do you know what makes it sting a lot less? When you know they're in heaven because they were faithful to God. The sting of death is sin. And so if you don't appreciate forgiveness of sins and God's grace, I don't think you've thought it through. Because if you don't have God's grace, how are you going to make it to heaven? If you do have God's grace, that takes away all the sting. Well, not all of it, but it takes away the hardest part of it. Knowing that you'll have eternal life, and that's the last one for today. That's what we're all striving here for today. That's why I assume you're here, to worship God and to praise Him, because He's given you grace, forgiveness, and access to eternal life. Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus." That's a gift. He's given that to you. And thanks be to God for His indescribable gift, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. We ought to be thankful for that. It is a gift. And all He asks you to do is to live a life of faith, to love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned." Have you kept that commandment? If you have, if you've washed away your sins in water, then you've got a lot to be thankful for, because you have hope of eternal life that no matter how hard this past 2 years have been, you have faith that there's something beyond it and that this life is but a vapor. And I don't want to belittle anyone's pain and suffering, because I know some of y'all have been having a rough year and maybe a rough 2 years. But I'm here to promise you and encourage you that it'll all be worth it in the end to hear, "Enter in, good and faithful servant." And I'm thankful that Jesus died on the cross so that I have access to the burial and the resurrection and eternal life. So it's not an exhaustive list, but that's what I could come up with between finding out that I was preaching this morning and today. So you probably have a lot more even to be thankful for. And I promise you, if you choose to focus on the things that you do have access to, it'll help you to get through those hard times. So if this lesson's encouraged you, but you still need more encouragement, you need the prayers of the congregation, or you need access to the spiritual blessings by washing away your sins, you just need to repent, whatever, confess, we're here for you. We're here to pray for you. We're here to help you, like the church is supposed to do. We're not here to judge you. We're here to help you get to eternal life. So if you need access to all those things, if that sounds good to you, you'll have a lot to be thankful for this Thanksgiving. If you need anything at all, make those needs known while we stand and while we sing.
On the falls with the greetings over land and sea, bidding us look to realms above. All the light from the throne shines for you and me. Let us lift to the call of love. Fly Zion's call is ringing, ringing, coming from the throne.
song before the Lord's Supper will be Tell Me the Story of Jesus. Following this song, we'll have some remarks, and then we'll partake of the Lord's Supper.
Tell me the story of Jesus.
If there's anyone here that did not pick up the emblems for the Lord's Supper, please make that known by raising your hand and we will get those to you. In the letter to the Corinthians, Paul instructs the Corinthians on the eating of the Lord's Supper. And he quotes from Jesus' instructions to the apostles in Luke 22 when he says, "Do this in remembrance of me." This Lord's table that we gather around on the first day of every week, this time we spend is not about us. It's about Christ who died for us. It's a memorial that is focused upon Christ and what he has done for us, even when we did not deserve it. Paul instructs the Romans relative to their focus on Christ
when they observe the Lord's Supper, as he makes a stark contrast between what we were and what Christ has done for us. In the fifth chapter of Romans, beginning in verse 6, Paul says, "While we were yet without strength, Christ died for us. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, perhaps for a good man one would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." If you go to Thayer's Greek lexicon, he says of a righteous man, one who is righteous, observing divine and human law, one who is such as he ought to be. He says of a good man, in general, it denotes excelling in any respect, distinguished, good. Here, those who were morally good, upright citizens, upholding the law. And Paul says, scarcely for a righteous man, perhaps for a good man, would someone die. Yet then he points out the vivid contrast. God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, we were not a good man, we were not a righteous man. He says in verse 6, that we were ungodly, and yet Christ died for us. And so as we gather around this table this morning, to remember his death, his burial, and his resurrection, if we focus our thoughts on what he has done for us, in spite of who we were, we will partake of this feast in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable to God. Would you bow with me as we offer thanks for the bread? Our Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before you, thankful, Father, for your many blessings, especially thankful for your Son who has willingly come to this earth, took on the form of man, willingly subjecting himself to the death on the cross, that he may pay the price for the sins that we had committed that we could not pay. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Bow with me as we offer thanks for the fruit of the vine. Father, we again come to you thankful for this fruit of the vine representing the blood that Christ shed on the cross, the blood that he took into the very throne room of heaven, presented to you as payment for the sins that we had committed. Pray your blessings on it as we partake in Christ's name. Amen. We gather around this table on the first day of every week in remembrance of Christ and what he has done for us. But we're also commanded on the first day of every week to give as we have been prospered. Provisions have been made for that in the foyer with the trays that are there for members of this congregation to contribute as they have been prospered for the work of this church. Pray that you would bow with me now as we offer our thanks for those blessings. Our Father, we come to you recognizing you as the giver of all good and precious gifts. We're especially thankful this morning, Father, for the physical things that you have so abundantly bestowed upon us. We pray, Father, that as we go through this life, that we would recognize that all good things come from you, that all the physical blessings that we have, that we enjoy, are from you, and that we are to always be thankful to you for giving them to us. In Christ's name, amen.
Closing song today will be "We're Marching to Zion." If it's convenient, I'd ask you to stand for the singing of this song. Following this song, Greg Parker will dismiss us with a word of prayer.
Come with that love, O Lord, and let our joys be known.
Before you, as your children, as your creation. And Father, we are so thankful that we have this place of respite that we can come to worship you, to remember the sacrifice of your Son and our precious Lord and Savior, to edify one another, to sing songs of praise to you. As we also learn more of you, Father, from our studies, we pray that all that we have done here this day has been in accordance with your will and a sweet aroma to you. Father, we have so many in this family who are suffering from physical affliction, those that have been mentioned, others that have not. You know who they are. We also have those that are mourning the loss of loved ones, one of the toughest challenges we face in this life. We pray your blessings upon all of these, Father, and we pray that you would use us to help them in any way that we can and to know the ways that we can. We are a family, Father. We are your family, Father. We love one another, and we love you. And we love you because you loved us before we ever even thought of loving you, and that you sacrificed your precious Son for the sins that we've committed. May we never forget that as we walk through this life, Father. We pray for your continued blessings on this congregation, this family that works in this area, that we might abide by your will in the way that we present your word and the things that we do and the way that we worship you, that more souls might be brought to your glory, Father, more souls might be saved. Pray that you would also accept our thanksgiving, Father, for all of the blessings that you provide for us, both physical and spiritual, and most of all for the sacrifice of your Son. We realize you created this universe for us, for our enjoyment, for our use, and you've given us everything that we need, exceedingly and abundantly. As we live in a nation, Father, that continues to move further and further away from you, we pray that you would watch each of us and especially upon our young folks, our young adults, our young children, as they are tempted more and more every day by Satan as he attempts to grab their soul, that they would remain strong and that we would help to encourage them to do so, so that we may all, when we leave this life, have a home together in heaven with you. Forgive us where we fail you, Father. Help us to be stronger and draw closer to you every day. For it's in Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.